I'm Alan Hall, president of WeatherGuard Lightning Tech, and I'm here with the founder and CEO of IntelStore, Phil Totaro, and the chief commercial officer of WeatherGuard, Joel Sexsom. And this is your newsflash. Newsflash is brought to you by our friends at IntelStore. If you want market intelligence that generates revenue, then book a demonstration of IntelStore at IntelStore.com. Spanish-German Nordex Group plans investing a little over $1 billion in Turkey in 2024. Turkey is seen as a major wind market due to its young population, onshore potential, and strong supply chains. Turkey is taking the lead in the wind supply chain as an alternative to Asia. So this is a sweet spot for Turkey at the moment, Phil, where they do have a strong workforce, they do have a lot of internal capabilities, and Nordex is picking up on that.
Exactly. And I mean, to the extent that they've already established themselves as kind of a wind manufacturing hub, you've got Enercon there, you've got Nordex already there, LM, and a couple other smaller players. But you also have, subcomponent suppliers there. Aska is there as a material supplier for blades. So there's a significant amount of opportunity. This investment represents largely project development activity, is my understanding, but there will also be some factory expansion potential there as well, as they look to expand Turkey as an export hub for components, and not just used in the domestic market, but also elsewhere throughout Europe.
To double down on talking about Nordex here, I was Wind Europe Bilbao last week. Nordex, it was that show was the return of the OEMs. So you saw GE Vernova, Siemens Gamesa, Nordex, Enercon, everybody having their big booths again. To focus on this, Nordex had a fantastic large booth, huge presence, putting some of their new models out there. They're really pushing that Delta 4000 platform. So you can see that the Nordex group is spending a lot of money to expand their footprint and could be capitalizing a little bit of that Siemens Gamesa absence from the market in that 4X, 5X area as well.
Singapore is setting up a $3.7 billion future energy fund and investing clean energy tech and infrastructure. Singapore aims to move quickly on its infrastructure and invest in clean energy security as part of its goal to reach net zero by 2050. Currently, 95% of electricity is produced from natural gas in Singapore. So there is now a plan to import low-carbon power from its neighbors, which will require, obviously, investments in submarine cables and the grid. Phil, with that kind of money being invested in Singapore, that's going to bring a lot of clean tech to that area.
Absolutely. And they already have a lot of offshore wind kind of capability that's headquartered in Singapore, a lot of vessel owners and operators, et cetera. So there's an experience base there up to a point. But it's also interesting because, this is a big, kind of city-state, I would say country, but this is a city-state-led, initiative on decarbonization. And so that's an important thing is, again, countries or city-states, in the case of Singapore, wants to ensure kind of future compliance with any regulations or, established protocols that come out of, future COP meetings or things like that. So always good to see, anybody getting together, a big pot of money and spending it on things that are desperately needed, like grid infrastructure and, renewable power generation.
Yeah, if you look at Singapore as a city, there's a lot of the financial world of the Asia Pacific, basically realm, is based in there. So there's a lot of money there. There's a lot of smart people there. There is a large contingent of, like Phil said, from the maritime and shipping sector there. So there is the experience to operate offshore. There's also the horsepower with some vessels and things in that area. A lot of the other ones operating in that same theater could move right on. So you have some experience. I also do think that there could be a pretty good play here for some HVDC transmission in the submarine cable side. I know there's been talks of a possible line from Australia, Northern Australia as well. Wow, that is a long line. It could be there, but good on Singapore for making these moves. I know it's a very interesting place to visit. If you haven't gone, go. But looking to see some big things coming from that corner of the world.
Copenhagen Infrastructure Partners is investing $1.92 billion in a 650-megawatt offshore wind farm in northern Samar province in the Philippines. The wind farm is located across about six towns there. Construction is supposed to begin in Q1 of 2024, so really soon. Operations expected in late 2025. This is part of CIP's expansion in Southeast Asia after a $1.3 billion investment in Bangladesh. Wow, Phil. Southeast Asia is getting a lot of cash flow in renewable energy, and they seem to be able to develop the projects faster than what's happening in Europe and the United States.
Right, which is the key to all this. You've got high PPA prices from conventional power generation that they would be competing with. You've got easier time of permitting, and you've got healthier financial returns that you can see. So it's really no surprise, and it's not just, you know, this project in the Philippines. You mentioned Thailand, Vietnam. There are plenty of other Southeast Asian countries, Indonesia as well. That are seeing a significant amount of interest in renewables generation and project development.
Yeah, CIP is specifically well suited for doing. They've been operating in that same area for a while. They have experience in Taiwan and some other areas as well over there. So good team down in the area to be able to put these projects out and the capital behind them. So more moves to make.
InfraRed Capital Partners acquired a 60% stake in the 182-megawatt Brazos wind project in Texas and a 50% stake in a 180-megawatt Madison Field solar project in Ohio from Shell. Shell remains the asset and energy manager, of course. Brazos is currently undergoing a repower and is expected to generate power sometime in the next couple of months. Phil, when we see these sort of transactions happen to older facilities, Brazos Wind Farm has been around since like 2001, 2002 and had Mitsubishi turbines, and now they're upgrading them at the moment. Those are valuable assets to have. Can you explain why that is?
Yeah, sure. It's because you're leveraging pre-existing electrical infrastructure that's, you know, the cables have already been laid. In this case, because it was, you know, these 1 megawatt Mitsubishi turbines, you're necessarily going to have to kind of recable for more modern, you know, 3, 4, 5 megawatt units. However, the lease agreements are already in place with the landowners. A lot of the basically you're shortcutting the development timeline.